WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Jazz critic Gary Giddens of the Village Voice called Ray Anderson one of the most compellingly original trombonists of the past decade. Anderson was voted best trombonist of 1988 in the Downbeat Critics poll. He tied for first in 1987. He's played and recorded with musicians such as Carla Bley, Anthony Davis, Gil Evans, Charlie Hayden, and Anthony Braxton. Terry Gross talked with Ray Anderson last December. Before we hear their conversation, let's listen to an excerpt from the title track of Anderson's latest album, Blues Bred in the Bone.
Play with growls and smears?
Yes, I suppose I always did. I started off listening to Dixieland music, so it was always apparent to me that that was something you could do with a trombone. I don't know exactly, you know, what I sounded like many years ago, but I suppose I always had that in the lexicon somewhere.
But when you were first playing trombone in the 50s and 60s, the kind of jazz that was current at the time was bop, and I don't think that bop trombonists really used those colors in their playing.
That's true. And for that reason, I always felt a great frustration with the bop language scene. It always appeared to me that even the very best of the bop trombonists, like J.J. and Curtis Fuller and these other really magnificent players, were still somehow a step behind the trumpet and saxophone, just in the fluency and the ease with which they could dash off those kind of bop language phrase things. So I was always looking for something else to do, and in that sense, the Ellington tradition or the Dixieland tradition as carried on by, say, Roswell Rudd was very important to me as soon as I was getting any awareness at all of, like, you know, what to do with music or try and develop a style and, you know, was moving beyond just playing in between baseball games or something, you know.
Do you use mutes a lot? And if so, what kinds do you like to use?
Actually, the only mute I like is plunger.
Mm-hmm.
And I do also have a little trumpet mute that I put inside the trombone on occasion and then use the plunger over that. That's the Tricky Sam legacy. That's like you get that sort of Tricky Sam sound from that.
And Tricky Sam Natten was one of the trombonists in the Ellington band.
Yes, right. The real, you know, Tricky Sam and Barbara Miley are really the inventors of plunger, period, from the Ellington band. And some of the stuff they did is still like the most unbelievable sound. So it remains a powerful inspiration for those of us that fool with the plunger.
When you're using a plunger mute, do you make it out of a plunger or do you go to a music shop and buy a plunger mute?
No, it's a plunger. And a problem is that I find the old plungers, which were made out of very hard rubber, have a better sound than the ones you can buy nowadays, which are very soft and pliant. So this has become a kind of problem. It's like how to find an old plunger. You know, I have a fairly old one and would like to find yet an older one. Maybe if somebody has one, they could mail it in to the station or something.
One of the things I really like about your playing is your playing really has a sense of humor to it. And I think that's especially evident on your interpretation of Mona Lisa. I think the arrangement's great. It has all these clashing international styles, reggae, cha-cha.
Yeah, it's the Andersonorious dance groove, whatever that is.
Up in Chicago.
Yes.
And when you started playing trombone in school, you played with George Lewis, who's now a new music and jazz trombonist too.
Mm-hmm.
Did you realize when you were playing together when you were kids that you would both end up remaining serious about the instrument?
No, not at all. I don't think either one of us had any inkling that we would still be at it all these years later.
What made you realize that you were serious?
Actually, I stopped playing when I got out of high school and I was 16, and all I knew really was that I hated school. I always hated school. And so my parents were kind enough to say, well, okay, so don't go on to college right away. You know, so they set up this thing where I went to Europe at that age and sort of bummed around for a year. I had a bunch of contacts of friends of theirs and, you know, just traveled around. And I went extremely lightly. I didn't take a trombone. I took a soprano saxophone, a small one, which would jam in my backpack, and a couple recorders, and went off on this year and gradually realized that I could not exist without playing. And it became about, you know, jam sessions in these youth hostels and with whatever guitar player you could find and whatever. And my little arsenal of instruments kept growing. Pretty soon I had soprano, three recorders, one half of a tabla drum set. You know, it was like, so I sort of discovered at that point that how important that really was to me. I had been doing it in high school, but didn't realize that it was so central to my whole being. As you know, it's like when I stopped, then I realized I couldn't stop.
On your new record, you have a lot of, you know, you have four interesting musicians with you. It's not a working band, though. This is not a band that you keep on salary and tour with and perform with. You brought these guys together for the record. Is that right?
Right.
Is it hard to keep together a working band? Has it been hard for you is that something you'd like to do but haven't been able to do?
Exactly. That is something that I really look forward to being able to do and at the moment cannot do. You know, I have work and then I have long periods without work, you know. I just went to Europe for about 3.5 weeks, and it's great what happens to a band, you know, when you have like work every night for that kind of period of time. But now, you know, I don't actually know when my next period of concentrated work will be. So I have to hire who's available at what time, and there hasn't been a great deal of consistency of personnel. In a way, that's also fine because I'm sort of still beginning as a band leader, and it's nice to be able to try out different people. But I look forward to the day when there's enough work to be able to say, okay, you know, this is the band here, you know, make a commitment to this because there's enough work that you could make a commitment to it. You know?
Okay, well, I want to thank you so much for talking with us.
Okay, thank you. It's really fun.